We're delighted that you can join us. We begin our program today with this musical selection, Joining Together as God's People, Expressing the Glory of the Lord. This Sunday is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. The psalm of the day is Psalm 67. Pastor Andrew Partapillo will be reading the Old Testament and the Epistle and basing his sermon on the message coming from the Gospel. So now here is the Reverend Andrew Partapillo, the Associate Pastor of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church, with the sermon for this Sunday entitled, When Jesus Seems Silent.
The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him, besides those already gathered.
This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by mercy shown to you, they may also now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all.
This is the word of the Lord.
And the Holy Gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 15. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel reading found in Matthew chapter 15, beginning in particular with the following. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Dearly beloved, there are few words in all of Scripture more painful to hear than what St. Matthew writes here of Jesus Christ, when he said, "But he did not answer her a word." They grieve us so because all of you sitting and listening today know that what this woman has done, she's done everything right, everything in her power. She's gone to the right place. I mean, after all, she went to the source of every blessing, crying out for mercy from the Lord, the Son of David. She knows exactly who Jesus is, recognizing the Messiah where so many others have failed to see it. And she comes to him with a sort of prayer that ought to move anyone to compassion. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." This is not some small inconvenience in her life. Her child is suffering. Her daughter is in the grip of something that this woman cannot defeat. She cannot heal her, and she cannot command the demon to leave. She cannot simply make everything right again. So she has come to the end of her own abilities, and she does the only thing left for her to do. She goes to Jesus. She goes to the one she knows can help. The one she knows is the promised son of David. And she cries out for mercy. And yet, Jesus says nothing. And that is where this text becomes so uncomfortable for us. Because many of you know that silence too. Perhaps you have prayed the same prayer for months or years. Perhaps you have prayed for a child who has wandered away from the faith and nothing seems to change. You have prayed for a marriage to be restored. You've prayed for healing. You've prayed that the cancer would disappear. You've prayed that depression would lift and joy would return. You've prayed that temptation would finally lose its grip on you. You have prayed for reconciliation with someone you love, or you've prayed beside a hospital bed and wondered why God would allow this to continue. You have stood beside a grave and asked why the answer you begged for never came. You've cried out in your own desperation, "Lord, help me." And it seemed as though heaven itself remained silent. It is in that silence that some of the hardest questions of faith begin to arise. Does he hear me? Does he even care? Have I done something wrong? Is my faith too weak? Am I not praying correctly? Why does he seem to answer the prayers of someone else and not mine? Why does he seem so near to them and so far from me? The longer the silence lasts, the easier it becomes to interpret that silence as absence, and eventually to perhaps even interpret it as rejection. That is where this woman stands. She cried out to the Son of David for mercy, and he does not answer her, not even with a word. If that were not enough, the disciples seemed to make the situation worse, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." Just make the problem go away. And then when Jesus does answer, he's responding to the disciples, even though this woman is within earshot. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She is a Canaanite. She is outside of Israel. She is a Gentile. If his silence seemed like a closed door, these words would seem almost as though the deadbolt had now been turned. And yet something remarkable happens. She does not leave. In fact, she comes even closer. Matthew tells us, "But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" The difficulty does not drive her away from Jesus. It drives her toward him. His silence does not cause her to search for another Savior. She knows her Savior is right there. The misguided words of the disciples do not make her turn around. Instead, she comes nearer. She kneels before him in pure faith. With this only her simple, desperate confession of, "Lord, help me." My dearly beloved, that is the picture of faith. That is what it looks like. Not because she understands what Jesus is doing, because she most certainly does not. Not because the circumstances are encouraging, because her daughter remains sick, so they certainly are not. Her faith is revealed in the fact that everything she sees seems to tell her to go away. And while everything she knows about Jesus is telling her to stay. She knows who he is. He is the Lord. He is the Son of David. Mercy is found in him. So when she cannot understand his silence, she clings more tightly to his promise. We sometimes imagine that strong faith, it never struggles, never feels the weight of God's apparent silence. But here her faith is being pressed by that struggle. Suffering itself does not create faith. The Holy Spirit creates and sustains faith through the Word of God. Yet God can use suffering to strip away everything else upon which we rely until there is nowhere left to look but Christ. This woman cannot appeal to her ancestry, the disciples, or to her own worthiness. She has only Jesus, and that is enough. Then Jesus says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Yet she answers, "Yes, Lord." Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She does not argue with him, try to justify herself, or tell him what she thinks she deserves. She answers with, "Yes, Lord." And faith takes hold of those very words, and that would seem to push her away. And she comes with faith. If there is a table, then there are crumbs, and she knows something about the master of this table. Even his crumbs are enough. And Matthew has already shown us what sort of abundance comes from Jesus. Just before these events and the gospel reading from 2 weeks ago, Jesus stood in a desolate place with 5,000 men beside women and children. And the disciples, they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. They looked at the crowd, looked at the food, and concluded there was not enough. But they had measured the size of the problem without measuring the size of Jesus. He took the loaves, blessed them, broke them, and gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And afterward, the 12 baskets full of broken pieces and crumbs remained. Think about that when this woman speaks of crumbs. What sort of crumb falls from the table of Jesus? His leftovers fill baskets. He does not barely have enough mercy or enough life to go around. He has more than enough. This woman has a big Jesus. Her need is not greater than the one before. It is that she's kneeling. A crumb from him is enough to drive out the demon and restore her daughter, because the power is not in the size of her faith, but in the greatness of the Savior to whom her faith clings. That is why Jesus can say, "O woman, great is your faith." Her faith is not great because she has an unusually strong grip on Jesus. Her faith is great because Jesus is great. And sometimes the struggles of this life teach that more clearly than prosperity ever could. When your plans fail, and when your strength disappears, when your prayers seem to go unanswered, God drives away from you the confidence in yourself and drives you back to the promise of Christ. But this gospel is not teaching that if you simply persist long enough that you can wear down Jesus and get what you want. Jesus is not a reluctant Savior. You do not have to convince him to be merciful. The cross proves that. Because before you ever confessed your sins and asked for mercy, he went willingly to Calvary. He carried your sins there. And before you could defeat death, he entered death himself, and he rose again. The Jesus who seems silent before this woman is the same Jesus who gives himself completely for sinners. And the cross teaches us something about the apparent silence of God. On Good Friday, Jesus himself cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" To those beneath the cross, it may very well have looked as though God had abandoned him, and every promise made had failed. Yet, it's precisely here, in the silence, beneath weakness, suffering, and death, that God was accomplishing the very salvation of the world. So when Christ seems silent, do not judge his mercy only by what you can see in the moment. Instead, cling to what he has already shown you, the cross, the empty tomb, Christ's promise. These are the hope that we cling to. You have a big Savior, bigger than your sin, bigger than your grief, bigger than the devil, bigger even than death itself. And if his crumbs are enough, consider what it is that he actually gives you. He does not leave you beneath the table searching for scraps. You, as a baptized child of God, have a seat at the table where he lavishes upon you so much more than crumbs. Christ gives to you his very body and his blood, which were shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So when he seems silent, dearly beloved, come closer. When you cannot understand what he is doing, come closer. And when you have left, all you have left is prayer, Lord, help me, pray it. Come closer and kneel and pray by finding Jesus Christ exactly where he promised to be, in the sacraments and in his word. Not because your faith is so great, but because your Jesus is. Faith does not always understand. And sometimes faith just simply refuses to go anywhere else. It says, Lord, I do not understand your silence, but I know your cross. And I do not know when this struggle will end, but I know your resurrection. I do not know what you are doing, but I know who you are and where to find you. And so I will not leave. This woman came asking for crumbs because she knew that even the smallest portion of Christ's mercy would be enough. And she was right. But thanks be to God, our Lord gives far more than crumbs. He gives the feast. He gives himself. And that is more than enough. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us all confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us all pray the prayer that the Lord taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Until next week, go in peace and serve the Lord.